Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
33 countries declare no international right to abortion. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. We're going to talk about this on Faith and Freedom with Holly Mead. Well, this is significant because it's the United States and 32 other nations that recently signed what is called the Geneva Consensus Declaration on Promoting Women's Health and Strengthening the Family. It declares that there is, quote, no international right to abortion, close quote, and that the family is, quote, fundamental, close quote, to society. The Geneva Consensus Declaration was co-sponsored by the United States, Brazil, Egypt, Hungary, Indonesia, and Uganda, and signed by 33 countries in total, representing more than 1.6 billion people. So this is significant. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and the HHS Secretary Alex Azar participated in the virtual signing of the Geneva Consensus Declaration, which further strengthens the coalition to achieve the following four pillars. One, better health for women. Two, the preservation of human life. Three, strengthening of family as the foundational unit of society. And four, protecting every nation's national sovereignty in global politics.
You know, this is just amazing. All these countries have come together to agree to reaffirm the inherent dignity and worth of the human person, that every human being has the inherent right to life, and that in no case, I emphasize, no case should abortion be promoted as a method of family planning. They say there is no international right to abortion, nor any international obligation on the parts of the states to finance or facilitate abortion. That is huge.
What a big change, because when President Obama was elected in his first week in office, he ultimately undermined the Mexico City policy. And that particular policy said that no U.S. taxpayer dollars will go to fund international abortion organizations. That we just wouldn't do that, of course. And he then set that aside. And for 8 years, the United States taxpayer dollars were flowing into the coffers of International Planned Parenthood Federation and other abortion organizations worldwide. And under the guise of health care, they would promote and they would push, using taxpayer funding, abortion, the taking of innocent human life. And there was certainly a big move on the United Nations level, still has been, to declare an international right to an abortion. So this is a great step. 33 nations, of course, the United States is one of the leaders of in this particular endeavor to literally draw a line in the sand and say, no, we are standing for the sanctity and dignity of every human life from the moment of conception.
You know, and Secretary Pompeo said, under President Trump's leadership, the United States has defended the dignity of human life everywhere and always. He's done it like no other president in history. We've also mounted an unprecedented defense of the unborn abroad, and we are taking the next step as we sign this Geneva Consensus Declaration. And at its very core, the declaration protects women's health, defends the unborn, and reiterates the vital importance of the family as the foundation of society. And you know, Matt, you and I were at an event not long ago with Secretary Pompeo, and he echoed these same thoughts.
He did, yeah.
He was very clear about the Trump administration defending the sanctity and the dignity of human life.
And that has been true, too. I mean, that's not just talk. A lot of politicians have rhetoric and they talk, but I can tell you from having been on the ground and working in this area all over the country and also with our office in Washington, D.C., the past 4 years in terms of the policies, there is no question that they have been the most pro-life policies coming out of the White House and the various federal agencies at the direction of the president than in any time in American history. There is no question. There has been a lot of talk in the past, but, you know, talk is cheap. But actions really speak louder than words, and they have really spoken loud. And it was very encouraging to hear from the Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a world figure that meets with world figures all over the United States on behalf, all over the world, on behalf of the United States. And to hear him talk about faith in God and the sanctity of human life was so encouraging. You know, the signers of the Declaration agree to, quote, reaffirm the inherent dignity and worth of the human person, that every human being has the inherent right to life, and that in no case should abortion be promoted as a method of family planning. Other highlights of the Declaration include that there is no international right to abortion, nor any international obligation on the part of the states to finance or facilitate abortion, that the family is the natural and fundamental group unit of society and is entitled to protection by society and the state, that motherhood and childhood are entitled to special care and assistance, that health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. I mean, that is a great highlight of what's in this document.
But you know, it was amazing, Matt, because just a year ago, President Trump went before the UN and chastised them for undermining the role of the family by promoting abortion. And then this year, the Trump administration did the same thing and reprimanded them for promoting abortion as part of the global response to coronavirus.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and that's amazing that they would do that. But it's not surprising, because those people that are wanting a global reset don't have the fear of God or the understanding of the human worth of the individual person created in the image of God. And it's about population control and global warming, and you reduce the population. And they use the coronavirus as an excuse to be able to reset this global agenda.
But to have many of them, 33 countries coming together, many of them are not Christian countries with foundations such as the United States, to agree on these basic facts about life.
This has been encouraging to see. You know, the fact is that the right to life is the right of all rights. It's the right of all rights. And we talk about the First Amendment. A lot of times we use the word first freedom or first liberty. Well, that's because it's the first of the Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights. But religious freedom is really not the first freedom. The first freedom is the right to life. Mm-hmm. Religious freedom means nothing to a dead corpse.
Right, you don't have liberty
means
without life.
Means nothing to a baby who doesn't have the ability to celebrate their first birthday or to see the first sunrise or take their first breath or nurse with their mom that's carried them for 9 months. Religious freedom to that dead corpse, that dead precious baby, means nothing. The right to life is the right of all rights. After that is the right to religious freedom, our freedom to be able to worship our Creator who made us in His image. And when we don't respect the right to life from the moment of conception, the most vulnerable, the most defenseless human being on the planet, then we become a nation of barbarians.
Right. And you know, President Trump has been very clear to repeat over and over again, every human being, born and unborn, has the inherent right to life.
Yeah, and that is true. That is so true. And again, it's more than rhetoric. So this is just another step in that direction. You know, the rest of the world watches the United States, and they look at it as an example. For example, we took a group to Israel, and we were meeting with a Supreme Court justice there. And the Supreme Court justice was talking about how sometimes the society accuses them of being judicial activists, that they make up what the Knesset, the legislature, never intended. And he said, but you know, you do it in the United States. You have the penumbra. What's it referring to? The 1973 Supreme Court decision on Roe versus Wade, abortion, where they couldn't find a right to kill your child in the Constitution. So they said, well, it must be in the penumbra, the glow emanating on the extreme edges of the Constitution, like an eclipse. And that comment fell flat because he didn't have the right audience that he was talking to. But you know what? We also have pro-life justices. Now, we have Justice Amy Coney Barrett.
We have Clarence Thomas.
We have Clarence Thomas. that literally will change the future of the U.S. Supreme Court on laws and policy to ultimately, I believe, in the near future, overturn this horrible decision of abortion, Roe versus Wade, and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website. Stand with us as we stand for life and for freedom. LC.org. You can support us. You can send in your comments, your questions. You can keep us involved with what's going on in your community. And you can also subscribe to our emails. Hit the subscribe button, LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.